My name is Nino Brown. I'm from Dr. Chi's lab at UGA. I'm working on my PhD, and I'll be speaking to you today about one aspect of my dissertation project, which is the validation and testing of a fiber-linked QTL on chromosome 25. Broadly speaking, the primary goals of cotton breeding programs is to increase profitability, improve yield, and maintain or improve fiber quality. Cultivated upland cotton has relatively low genetic diversity, especially for fiber quality, the implications of which include crop susceptibility to new stresses or unforeseen stresses, but more importantly for my research, it limits long-term genetic gain for fiber quality improvement. So the focus of the UGA Cotton Molecular Breeding Lab has been to increase genetic diversity and improve fiber quality through marker-assisted selection. So where do we go looking for novel sources of beneficial fiber quality alleles? Well, we can look in elite cultivars. However, like we've discussed, there's a low amount of diversity in this. We can also look in wild accessions or related species. However, the linkage drag associated with introgressing fiber quality traits from those is concerning. So we look to improved germplasm or introgression lines as the source of our novel fiber quality alleles. Such source of those alleles are the Sealand germplasm lines developed by the USDA PD cotton breeding program in South Carolina. So Sealand 883 in particular exhibits it's an ELS extra long staple line that exhibits exceptional fiber length as well as fiber bundle strength. It is the product of a cross between Coca Wilds, which is an upland Gossypium hirsutum type, and Bleak Hall, which is a Sea Island type cotton, followed by several back crosses to Coca Wilds. Previous work within our lab has identified several introgressions from Gossypium barbatans in the Sealand 883 line. So a survey done by a previous graduate student, Pawan Kumar, who's here today, he did a survey of 1,200 SSR markers, which revealed that around 4% of the Sealand 883 genome is Gossypium barbatans alleles, and that many of those introgress segments contain fiber quality associations. One particular region of interest is about 8 to 10 centimorgans on chromosome 25. We have 11 markers, 9 SSRs, and 2 RFLPs that map to that position. And there was a very large effect of this QTL in the original testing population. So the position of the fiber length QTL and the percent phenotypic variation that it explained in some mapping populations encourages us to look further at this particular QTL. One mapping population, it explained 10 to 60% of the total variation seen in fiber length. So the goal of my project is to confirm the effect of this introgression and the benefit of interspecific introgression aided by marker-assisted selection. I'm testing the hypotheses, does the small piece of introgressed chromosome have a significant effect by itself? And is the effect the same across different cross combinations of parents from different adaptation zones? So to do this, we deployed the QTL in 4 different genetic backgrounds representing the major growing regions of the U.S. So we've got Akela SJ4 representing the desert southwest, Paymaster HS26 for the high plains, DP50 for the delta, and Georgia 89 for the southeast. So what we did was we crossed each of those 4 parents to Sealand 883 and self the F1 to create F2 segregating individuals. From the F2 population, we selected 25 lines with the QTL and 25 lines without the QTL from each of those 4 genetic backgrounds. So in this picture, you can see the banding pattern of Sealand 883 compared to one of the cultivar parents. And so we just selected lines homozygous for the Sealand 883 SSR allele and lines homozygous for the cultivar parent allele. So we planted these total of 200 lines in an RCBD design with 2 reps per line, and cultural practices and growing conditions were appropriate for each of the local production regions. 25 bulk samples were collected, and HVI fiber data was analyzed by Cotton Incorporated in North Carolina. So we had 5 locations for this experiment: Maricopa, Arizona; Lubbock, Texas; Baton Rouge, Louisiana, near Baton Rouge; Tifton, Georgia; and Florence, South Carolina. So this is the analysis of variants, but what I want to draw your attention to is the effect of background alone was very large, as well as the effect of the QTL alone. However, the interaction between the QTL by the background was not significant in this experiment. So ignore the letters next to the means below these, because these differences here are not significant. However, what I want to show is the fiber length values for the parents, as well as the effect of the Sealand 883 background alone, and then with the QTL. So you can see a KLSJ4 parent has a fiber length of 1.2 inches, Sealand 883 with almost 1.3, and the without QTL, a KLSJ4 by 883 progeny had an average of 1.24 inches, and with QTL 1.26. Similar relationship, again, these aren't significant differences, was seen in the DP50 background. With QTL was 1.23, without 1.21, and the DP50 parent was 1.18, and the 883 parent again was about 1.3. Another similar relationship is seen here, 1.27 inches with the QTL, 1.26 without, and the Georgia 89 parent was 1.25. The paymaster background with the QTL was 1.21 inches, without 1.19, and the paymaster parent was 1.11. So because the QTL alone, we saw significant differences among genotypes with the QTL and without the QTL, regardless of their background, I did a combined analysis of these, and we do see a significant difference in the upper half mean length. So with the QTL, you have a fiber length of 1.24, which is significantly higher than without the QTL. And Sealand 883 is significantly higher than both of those. So we only have 1 year of data for that experiment. And so what we want to do is we want to further validate the effect of this QTL. So how do we better demonstrate that? Well, what we're going to do is we're developing nearly isogenic lines to more fully characterize the effect of the QTL, and also we're going to fine map the location of that QTL. Here I have a diagram. It's a group of individuals from two different genetic backgrounds, but I've grouped them together to show the effect of the QTL. What we see is that the effect of the QTL does have a significant effect. The blue box to the right there is the homozygous positive for the QTL with a fiber length of 1.35. The green box is the heterozygous condition with a fiber length of 1.34, and the homozygous negative is the yellow box with a significantly lower upper half mean length of 1.3 inches. So again, we're constructing NILs from these segregating populations. These are F4-derived F6 lines. They were selected in the F4 generation for heterozygosity of the region of interest. And so these nil lines are greater than 96% uniform at every other loci except for this, where the QTL resides. I mentioned fine mapping. So currently, we're looking at a region that spans about 900 kilobases, but thanks to the Cotton Genome Sequence and our postdoc who helped me, Pawan Kumar, who's here today, with his help, we've been able to add several markers to this region. So using a group of overlapping recombination events, in individual plants that I've selected, we'll be able to further fine map the location of this QTO. So to do that, basically what I'm doing is I'm taking a marker from one end of that region and a marker from that other end of the region, and when I get segregation in the population, let's see, there's the mouse. So I've got an animation. So what you see here is this one is homozygous for the Sealand 883 parent, and that's on one end of that region. And this is homozygous for the cultivar parent, and that's on this region of the QTO region. And so what we can do is we can evaluate the phenotype and see how the phenotype co-segregates. So more work is needed to positively confirm that the QTO of interest does indeed have a significant impact on fiber length. These data suggest the effect of the QTL appears to be greater than the background effect of the Sealand parent alone. The extent of the QTL's effect apparently varies based on the cultivar in which it is deployed. So for future research, we're going to more thoroughly determine the environmental influence and tease out the QTL by background, QTL by environment, and QTL by background by environment interaction. And further characterize the contribution of this QTL using near isogenic lines. We'd also like to fine map the location of this QTL. So I'd like to thank a few people, namely Cotton Incorporated and the Cotton Incorporated Fellowship Program, also the Georgia Cotton Commission, our collaborators, Dr. Campbell, Dr. Jones, Dr. Myers, Dr. Subramani, and Dr. Wright, and everybody at the Cotton Molecular Breeding Lab in Tifton, my major professor, Dr. Chi Pawan, for all his help, Rippy Singh for teaching me all these lab techniques, and our technical staff, Jennifer McCurdy, and our student workers. With that, I'd like to take any questions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
I guess from the four, I forgot, you started to use markers to identify and use 25 plants with the so-called QTRs.
Yes, sir.
And 25 individuals without the QTRs.
Right. So those selections were made in the F2.
Okay. So my question for you is, how many markers did you use for that region? Your selection process.
Right. So the question was, how many markers did we use in the selection process to produce the lines from the four different genetic backgrounds, 25 lines without the QTL and 25 lines with. We used several spaced across that region. I'm not sure exactly how many. I couldn't tell you. But it wasn't just a one marker analysis. Yes, ma'am.
Have you done any work to see if there's a yield penalty associated with that, like QTL, or a lid percent penalty?
No, ma'am. We have. The question was if we've done any work to see if there's a negative linkage drag, basically. For yield associated with the fiber length QTL, and we have not. Yes, ma'am.
You have defined that from the QTL basis regional, but keep in mind.
We haven't, because there's so many genes in that region. We're trying to narrow it down just a little bit further, and I haven't analyzed all my data yet from this field season, but we're excited to, and we think we're going to really narrow it down a lot further than what we've got. But we're trying to narrow it down just a little bit, because there's a whole lot of genes in that 900 kilobase physical distance.